Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This podcast is supported by Elite Sports Travel. Visit elitesportstravel.co.uk to view the various packages available to watch live NFL games in the US. Bookings are currently available for the Super Bowl in February and also the 2023 season in Las Vegas. Now let's get into the podcast.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Neil Reynolds Podcast in association with Elite Sports Travel. Very pleased now to be joined by my regular partner now on Sky Sports NFL, Phoebe Schechter. Phoebe, thank you for joining me on the podcast, and I hope you're enjoying Sunday nights as we watch all these great games around the league.
Oh my gosh, yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is quite an honor to be, you know, you don't have a choice really with me on Sundays, but at least now you've actually chosen to be around me.
Well, I want people to know your story. And I was thinking back, I actually don't know the year. I think we met at first time at an NFL UK Live. Is that correct?
Yes.
After the thing you were talking about women's football, you and a friend of yours would come up and ask me a couple of questions. Is that right? It must have been years ago, up in Leeds or Manchester somewhere.
That literally would have been, I'd say, 2013, 2014.
Wow.
And it was you and Jeff Reinbold, and it was when the Vikings were in town.
That so that was 20. Time. Yeah, 2013 that was then. Yeah, incredible.
Crazy.
So when did you first get into the NFL and American football? Were you a fan growing up?
You know, I hate to admit it, but I was never really a fan growing up, just because I worked in horses, which in a lot of ways has a lot of similarities to American football and the NFL. You have no time for anything else. And it wasn't really until I moved to the UK, which is almost 10 years ago. So pretty much in 2013, when I met you, is when I really started my American football journey.
It's incredible how far you've come then in that 10 years. It's been quite the ride. Of course, we're going to talk about your time with the Buffalo Bills, coaching around Europe, playing. I'm going to ask some of the rules of kabaddi. I don't know anything about that, but I know you. Do you play what? You play kabaddi? Yeah. Is that what it's called? Is that the term you'd use? Sorry.
Yeah. I play kabaddi, and it's something that I got into because of American football. I know for some people, you might remember it from the 80s or 90s when it was on Channel 4. It's probably, it's a very close second to American football in terms of a playing capacity, because essentially it's like a mixture of British Bulldog, tag, and MMA. It's crazy.
It sounds like what you, and I'm sure it's a, I'm going to offend you here.
No.
It's a sport you love, I'm sure, and you play. Sounds like sort of something you might do at a drunken barbecue. You combine all those things after a few drinks.
Exactly.
When did you start playing American football?
So I literally started, essentially, I moved to the UK to work with horses, right? And I was working for somebody on the Dutch Olympic team who happened to be based up in Cheshire. And that was in 2012, I moved over. And because it was really quite encompassing, I was only 22 when I moved over. And I was definitely a bit homesick, as you can imagine, in December. It's cold, it's dark, it's rainy. I was like, what am I doing in this country? And so I happened to be just looking online and saw an ad for American football in Manchester. And even though I'd never played contact sport before, the fact that it was American football, I thought, there's no way this is a coincidence. Like, this is a sign, I have to go. And I think when you're out of your comfort zone, you're so much more willing to take risks. So just went to trials, had no idea what I was doing, but they assumed, because I have an American accent, that I could throw the football. And let me reassure everyone, I still cannot throw a football. But at least I somehow managed to make the team. And that was really the beginning of my playing career.
So did you have to start as a quarterback then?
Mm-hmm. Yep. They put me a quarterback and I was like, I can hand the ball off and I can run the ball myself. Things we tell George not to do.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Don't want to do too much. It's probably what you told Josh Allen not to do as yes. well.
He didn't listen, obviously.
No, he's Josh Allen. He'll do what he wants to do. So how quickly did you become kind of, I guess, comfortable with the sport and able to shine in the sport? Because you are, you know, a high-end player. I mean, I'm going to say it. You're the best player on the Great Britain team. And you were a captain. How did you get to that level? How easily was the transition?
Well, so to be honest, the greatest thing that happened was we had a quarterback come on board, Joe Kilby, who was miles better than me, which is the best thing because our head coach at the time said, look, you're going to need to find another position if you want to stay on GB. And I'd already had this affinity for contact. And I went into a linebacker drill, like just a simple box drill. And that for me was like, oh my gosh, all these pieces of the puzzle came together. And I thought, this is what I love. And that was really it. Going forwards, you know, I still really didn't understand the rules or the nuances. I mean, I remember my first game, we played Sweden in Hertfordshire. And I had on like someone else's gloves, mismatched shoes, you know, the old school like hip pads sticking out of my pants. It was just a disaster. But I was like, all right, see ball, fine ball, hip person. Like that was it.
I don't need to know too much more than that. Nope. I mean, but that's, we've talked about this before. That's what's fantastic about the people that play around the world playing the British game. You know, we were at the International Player Pathway Combine earlier this week at Tottenham. There's a passion for the game. There's a purity because you can get a little bit kind of spoiled by it if you're growing up in America with it.
Massively. And I think over here, what's so great is almost there's no burnout from it, essentially. You know, in the States, you grow up from a young age and you're playing and you're playing and playing. So then if you don't make it past high school, your career is done. Whereas here, and it is changing, which is a good thing, people really don't start playing until they're 18 when they go to university and they might see it at a freshers' fair. And, you know, and it's a nice way for people to also have a sense of identities. You know, on Sundays, they can go play, coach, be an admin for their team. And like you've said, it's just the passion. I mean, this entire sport is essentially driven by volunteers in this country.
How proud of you have you been of the growth of the of the Great Britain women's team? When you think about like mismatched shoes, borrowed pads, not everything matching, to the silver medal you get at the World Championships this summer in Finland.
It honestly, like, I'm still pinching myself to think about it. From, we used to train back at Warwick and it was, you know, maybe 12 of us. And we used to play five-a-side as a national team. I mean, and to then see to where we've come to, you know, through, we've been through two rounds of Euros, we've gone two rounds of Worlds. And I think what's been really great is, you know, our first Euros, for example, Finland kicked our butts in the finals, but then we come back stronger and we beat Finland, right? And then the same with USA this time, or Canada. Canada beat our butts in the world in 2017. And then we came back and beat them. And now USA, to play them in the final and not just play them, but be tied 14-14 at halftime with the best team in the world, head coached by Callie Bronson of the Cleveland Browns. Angela Baker of the Giants is also playing on the team. You know, I mean,
right.
It's crazy to think that us, who we don't even play 11-a-side year round as women, we play 7-a-side, no special teams. So imagine what we could do if we played 11-a-side with special teams year round. I mean, we could be incredibly competitive.
It's a credit to you and to the team and how much it's grown. And I'm going to get in trouble here. so if you're listening in the Brit, but it, all I've seen in recent years is Great Britain's women's games, not men's.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a whole other sort of separate issue. But the fact is you guys are at the forefront of what's happening for the UK internationally. It's been fantastic to see.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think we've been so supported as well by British American Football and all of really the members, you know, all the other players and teams and staff from within the, within England and UK. And that's been a big part of how much support we've had. But I think, you know, we've tried to do things the right way. We've had consistent coaching as well. I mean, our last head coach was with us for 7 years, I think it was. And then now we've got a new head coach with Chris Stone, and he's been brilliant for us and really trying to elevate us and take us to the next level of, hey, like, there's no excuses anymore, right? You need to know the X's and O's, you need to know the scheme, and you need to execute and do your job on and off the field.
You said you like contact. I noticed this when we're sitting in the studios and when you pick out certain plays you want to talk about. You don't shy away from contact. You enjoy watching it. I certainly have seen that.
You know what? I absolutely love it. And I can't believe I never played a contact sport when I was younger. I feel like I really could have been a much better human for my parents when I was younger.
So you have played, though, because you're a very talented athlete. You played a number of positions for Great Britain. Do you like hitting or being hit?
You know what? Always be the hammer. No matter what, always be the hammer. I love playing receiver, and I think it's so much fun. I love the contested catches, but I am a 0 yards after catch kind of player. I'm like, you need a first down, I got you. But it is straight like salmoning to the floor afterwards.
You need 10, Phoebe, to get you 10. You need 20, Phoebe, to get you 10.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what it's like in British football. You end up playing different positions. You end up filling in and stuff. So I was mostly a tight end, but occasionally you'd play a little bit of defensive end or linebacker. Yeah. I had no clue what I was doing on defense. So I would hurt myself. I didn't know how to tackle. So I actually would rather be hit. I would rather take a big hit. It fired me up. I didn't mind it.
Really?
Yeah, I would never be the hammer. I was
I was the nail. But you were a kicker as well, which is the craziest thing. And a barefoot kicker, which blows my mind.
So you used to score, like, because I was like the starting tight end. So I was like, if I'd score a touchdown and all the guys would be sort of celebrating, and I'd be hopping around trying to get my shoe off, someone throw stuff in the socket, throwing it to the sideline, and someone's got to shuttle that off while I kick the extra point. Yeah, no, not good. Because it's the summer league as well. That's not good. We're going to take a very quick break here on the Neil Reynolds podcast. When we come back, we're going to talk about Phoebe's coaching journey and life in the NFL. We'll see you in a couple of minutes.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everyone. Producer Gary here, and I'm by myself. I've got my own section on the podcast at long last because Neil is too busy. Now, as you know, it's London game season. That means Neil is off gallivanting everywhere, working with Sky, working with the NFL, writing programs, recording episodes for this podcast, apparently. But with Neil being so busy, I'm just here to talk to you myself about elite sports travel. Now, we know, obviously, the London games are here, but there is also another game this year in Munich. And if you're still interested in attending Munich, you've been planning a trip, or you just thought about it last minute, well, the good news is that Elite Sports Travel still have packages for NFL fans to get over to Germany and catch some NFL action in Bavaria. So what I've been told to say is that Elite Sports Travel have fully inclusive packages, including game tickets, flights, 5-star centrally located hotel, and lots of the usual Elite Sports Travel entertainment. And as we know from what Neil has said in the past, that includes drinks, includes parties, it includes all sorts. So if you want to get over to Bavaria, enjoy some NFL action, head over to elitesportstravel.co.uk now and see all the packages. And just a reminder, the game in Munich is on the 13th of October, but the weekend runs from the 11th to the 14th. So you can get a whole weekend of NFL action with Elite Sports Travel. Now back to Neil and Phoebe.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is 7-time Pro Bowler Cam Jordan, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
So, Phoebe, we've talked a lot about you playing there. Let's talk about how you got into coaching and when that became a thing that you wanted to explore. Who kind of helped you along the way, do you think?
Yeah, it's a really good question because, I mean, it started where I thought I just couldn't play forever. Now I'm 33 now. I don't know what I'm doing still playing, but I thought I had to start coaching at some point. And I guess there were a few people that really directed me on that. Wayne Hill from the UK game, he's also our president of our British American Football Coach Association, and he's been really big on supporting me. And then from a US perspective, there's Scott Pioli, who's ended up being one of my biggest mentors, and Samantha Rapoport. So she runs diversity and inclusion for the NFL and used to work for USA Football. And it was really her who let me know that this was an opportunity, because USA Football used to host these like women's football camps, essentially. So you'd have 5 days, you know, women from 25 different countries show up just to kind of develop and learn the sport. And they started having these NFL careers forums, which they still have to this day. And that's really where I thought, you know, one of the things I loved about it was how honest everyone was. So Scott Pioli was there. We had Ron Rivera, Kim Pegula, Dean Blandino, like these amazing people. And they weren't sugarcoating anything. They were so blunt and open with, hey, this is what it's like to be in the NFL. These are the realities of it. And I thought, this is actually exactly what I want to do. And I remember at one of those camps, you know, they just do some random interviews with people. And the woman had asked me at the time, you know, well, what are your goals or what are you thinking about achieving after this? And I just remember saying out loud, I want to be a positional coach in the NFL. And a year later, I was there with Buffalo Bills. So I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, let's talk about the time with the Bills then. So obviously you've got to be you're confident to be the athlete you were and to be, but was there a point when you first walk in the door where you're like, I'm in the NFL now and I'm going to be coaching these NFL players? Because it's not like you're in there as a player alongside them. You're their teacher, in effect.
Yeah. And I guess at times I was definitely like a deer in the headlights, right? Because there's nothing that can prepare you for the elite level of the NFL. And that's talking about terminology, the speed at which things happen, the hours, you know, being prepared, like silly things. When am I going to have a snack? You know, when does this happen for people? But luckily I was with a great rookie class, right? When I came in, which plays a big role into it, because I had Josh Allen, Deion Dawkins, Tremaine Edmonds, Tre'Davious White, like you couldn't ask for a better rookie group to be a part of. And I had veterans in Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. My first year I was with DBs. And I remember Gilbert said to me, hey, we need to find a way for you to connect with these players, or for them to, you know, why should they trust me? I'm just a person off the streets in their eyes. So we ended up making a highlight reel of, because of my affinity with contact, a highlight reel of my Kabaddi tackles and my GB tackles. And we showed it to the DB group. And that was like my initiation into it. And it was like, after that, I was one of them, because they're like, dang, you will leave it all out there. And that is who I am. I'm 0 or 100. So I think that was a really cool moment for us.
That is beautiful. I never knew that story, because that's the language of football. You didn't need to show any qualifications, any CV, no resume needs to be presented. And it didn't matter what the level is compared to the NFL. It's this is me. This is how I approach things. That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's crazy. I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh my gosh, are we really doing this? And he's honestly, it was the best decision that we ever did. And they still talk to me about it. And they're like, what is this co-buddies for? They're, you know, they love it.
we can see the respect there and the love. But when Dion Dawkins joined us on Sky earlier, he was so excited. He was reasonably happy to talk to me. He was ecstatic to catch up with you. It was great.
Oh, they're great people.
What you mentioned there, the hours. So tell me a little bit about that and whether that was a shock to the system, how you exist in that and live. Well, you don't live a normal life, do you? You live all of that when you're in it.
Yeah. And I think at first the hours are probably the hardest thing to get a part of, because you think training camp at first, we were lucky because we're all on the same facility. We go away for training camp to St. John Fisher, which I love. And part of that is finding a way to bond with the coaches. So, you know, at 5:15, and it's good because I carried into the season, but 5:15, Coach McDermott would be in the gym. You know, it's just a quick walk from our dorm halls. So I was like, all right, I'm going to be in the gym every day when he's in the gym every day. And that was like a really cool bonding thing for us, because he would always, you know, we'd have a chat and he'd acknowledge like, all right, you're doing this, you're working hard, you're putting these extra hours. And then the rest was just mayhem. And because when you get into the season, it is literally, I'd arrive at 5:15 or 5 o'clock, whatever it looked like. And it is full on from, you know, I'm eating at my desk. Then we're into staff meetings. We're into positional meetings, team meetings at 7:30. You're into walkthroughs by 10:30. You're practicing at 12. Then you're trying to get everything ready to review practice by 2:30. Then you're back into meetings. And then you're into staff meetings at 5:30. And then you start breaking down, you know, whatever your theme is for that day, if it's 2-minute, 4-minute red zone, and then you're there. I mean, there were times that we were there until like 2:30 in the morning. I remember because you're back in at 5 again, basically. And one of the coaches who's coming over this weekend with the Giants, John Egarugo, he is the linebackers coach for the Giants. I remember the two of us one morning at like 1:30 in the morning, just sitting in the kitchen, because that's the beauty of a facility. You've got food and drink all the time. And we're just eating ice cream, just trying to do anything to stay awake and keep our eyes open.
Did you, so Rob Ryan, who was obviously with me on Sky for many years, did the whole blow up bed in the office. Did you do that?
You know, I thought about it sometimes. I did. And I my problem is my desk was literally across from Coach McDermott's office and across from Brandon Bean's office. And then next to his was Terry Pegula, one of the owners. So I was totally exposed. I couldn't even close a door and hide.
No, you don't want to be snoring in the middle of the night as the owner walks past. Probably not a good move.
Exactly.
How obviously it was early in his career, and he's growing every year into this MVP candidate we see now, Josh Allen. Yeah. How was he early on? And did you still see those kind of physical wow skills that we enjoy every Sunday?
Oh yeah. And I know you've talked about it before where, you know, you've been on the pitch on the field and you've heard the whistle of the football. Yeah. And Josh has that absolute ability. And even down to, you know, we would be doing before a game, you know, if we're away, we're in a hotel and we'll be doing walkthroughs just in a little hotel room. And he is taking people's fingers off, not even trying, you know, just trying to get them the ball. And they're like, you have to calm down here, Josh. Like, take a little heat off of that.
We're in a ballroom doing a walkthrough.
Exactly. But he's his natural strength. And now he's combined that with his ability to make, you know, much better decisions than perhaps when he was a rookie. And we're seeing the marriage of the two coming together. And it's incredible. We're watching history as one of the most amazing quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah, I think he really can be that. I've interviewed him a couple of times. The way I describe it, he always seems so happy. I mean, he just seemed to just like relish the moment. And I know he told me the story of, you know, no offers coming out of high school and eventually getting one after community college thing. He just seems happy to be there.
He is. And he's in the nicest way. He's like a big kid. And that's been, you can see that on the field, you know, at times. And I think that plays really nicely into how he manages the team, how he is as a leader, his relationship with Stephon Diggs, you know, all of that. You can see that kind of childlike excitement and passion for football. You know, he's still in love with the sport and he's still in love with what he does. And that very much so comes across in his character. And he's able to, you know, what I would call like a goldfish moment, right? Something bad happens. We just forget about it. On to the next one. And he's really good at being able to do that now.
I guess if we go back and watch him a few years ago, we can see your work right there on the field. Didn't you used to do all his wristbands and fill out all the plays, right?
Yes. That was like my big job before the games is creating all of these crazy wristbands. And it's way more complicated than it needs to be because, you know, we would have a ton and, you know, 150 plays at times. And Dave's would then be like, oh, well, I need, you know, he'd go into letters because he'd stop using numbers. So I'm like, oh my goodness. But wow. It was pretty incredible. And to think how he managed all of that was very impressive.
Because, I mean, you can take the listeners and the viewers inside the world of the NFL. Those wristbands now, they have pages to them where they could turn. Yeah. There's so many on there. Literally. Is it every play in the playbook or is it the plays that you've selected for that game plan and certain situations?
Yeah, so those are the plays we've selected for that game plan and for that specific, you know, event, and they correlate with the call sheet. So when you always see the offensive coordinators with their sheets up against their mount, like that's all broken down as well into down and distance, you know, 2 minute, what do I like, short yardage. It's a good way for them to keep track, the coordinators to keep track of what are Josh's favorite plays or what do we love in this situation? What are our NASCAR plays? Because NASCAR is in your one word, go fast, no huddle. Those aren't even on there either. So the amount of memory, I think it's easy to almost forget sometimes how much these guys have to know and have to remember because you still have, I might have one play with an alert at the end. So it might be a run play, but it's got an alert pass. So I have to know that whole play. And if we go to this, what does that mean for me now? What is my blocking? What is my protection? It's incredible how much these guys know.
Wow. I'm going to go, you'll appreciate this. I'm going to go back to the pay to play days. So when I was playing, I was the tight end, we had like maybe 6 or 7 pass plays, but I used to have them on a wristband, but it was like a sweatband with sellotape around a bit of drawn on paper. And then
I like it.
One day I looked like that and then got down in my stance and the coach went, it's obviously a pass if you're going to look at your wrist. So then you start messing with people. You'd look at it and then it'd just be a run play. But it was just a piece of old tatty old paper, sellotape on a wristband. It's not quite the NFL. It really is.
No.
Not quite.
Whatever it takes, though.
Exactly. And you coached around Europe as well. You enjoyed. Where else have your coaching journeys taken you?
Yeah, so I've been with GB with our under-19s and done some bits with our, you know, kind of not consulting coaching, but there to really support our women's team and our adults, our men's team in this country and students. But then I've been out in, last year I was with the Potsdam Royals who are in GFL 1. And that was a really great experience because, you know, it really challenged me as a coach, whereas I had probably on defense alone, 9 different languages to work with. Wow. And luckily we had 2 things are lucky. One, some of them spoke English. For the most part, most of them spoke English, except for a couple of our French guys. But our middle linebacker was Swiss. And he made a big difference because he spoke English, he spoke German. And that was really key to be able to tell people what to do. And I was like, I need a translator.
That guy was never getting cut from the team.
No.
Let's just finish up. Obviously, it's great to see the growth of the women's game. And I love the tweet you've got on your Twitter where there's the young girl, you're in your uniform, there's a young girl there. I don't know if you're signing something or just saying hello to her. And then you put a tweet on this week where there was a young girl standing watching you on Sky Sports NFL.
Yeah.
And you're a wonderful role model. Do you feel a sense of, do you feel a burden? And I mean, obviously there's not a burden. Do you feel there's a responsibility there and that you can, there can be many more Phoebe Schechters that are coaching in the NFL in the coming years?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all have that responsibility, right? I think it's, and for me, a lot of times it's not even necessarily the young girls that are to see it. It's the young boys as well, because they're the ones that will grow up and think, oh, this is the norm. You know, I've always seen women doing this and right. doing that. And I think that the responsibility is just like you said, I never want to be the last one to be able to do any of this. I want to make sure that I do and give the best impression and do the best that I possibly can, so that there are many, many others that come after me that surpass any of the things that I've been able to do. But that's also because I've had great people like yourselves, like Scott Pioli and Sam Rappaport, who've helped me get to these places in life.
And it will become, I think, one of those things where it's just, it's not even a conversation. That's where you want to get to. Like you think back to, so Doug Williams was a black quarterback.
Yeah.
Now Russell Wilson's just a quarterback. And you're a coach. You're an excellent analyst on Sky Sports NFL. And that's all that's where you get to, isn't it? I think that's what you're kind of looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think anybody wants to be good at what they do and have to acknowledge what their gender is or what their race is. They just want to say, you are great at your job. No matter what you look like or what you believe in, you are great at your job. And that's all we need to hear it. And you're spot on. Like the moment that we don't have to say, you know, preempt something with, oh, they're this or they're that, then we've won, right? When it's a non-conversation.
Absolutely. This hasn't been a non-conversation. This has been a good conversation. You're probably thinking, he asked me enough questions on a Sunday night.
I know, you must be so bored of asking me questions.
Has anything surprised you about what we do on Sky Sports NFL when we do the big, long studio shifts? And I mean, really long last week.
I mean, last week was long. Last week was impressive. To be honest, I love watching you. I love watching the way that you prepare and organize, and you know, people obviously at home don't see it, but the way that you manage people you can't see who are in your ears, and you're able to talk and think whilst they're talking to you, and I mean that's already a feat in itself, but the way that you're able to then, you know, engage everyone in a conversation and make it really meaningful and all of that for me is so amazing to see, and like watching you prepare, like that is, people have no idea how much time and effort you put into it. So I'm grateful just to be around you and your excellence when you're at work.
Oh, thank you. Well, you have been a wonderful addition. And I've noted two things. You like contact and you can eat.
Yeah.
I could take another snack.
Literally, please.
It's fantastic. It's great to have you on board. It really is a lot of fun to watch the games together on Sunday nights. Phoebe, thank you for joining me on the Neil Reynolds podcast. There is no mailbag this week because we're right in the London games, and well, frankly, I'm too busy. So we'll certainly have one next time and another special guest. Thanks, Phoebe, again for joining me. Thanks, Gary Hayes, for producing. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye for now. Been listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast, brought to you by Elite Sports Travel. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Jackie Anklin, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast and help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening. This has been a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network. Production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.